This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On the podcast today, we'll take a look back at game week 11, and it was a bonkers one. We'll discuss all the key performers and results, and I'll give you my star and flop of the week. Before turning to game week 12, we'll run through the fixtures and discuss some in-form players that you could potentially transfer in. We'll talk captaincy, any differentials, before finishing off with my likely team ahead of game week 12. So, let's get into it. Right then, game week 11, and it was a pretty bizarre one. So many highly owned FPL assets failing to deliver points, very low scoring across the board. Game week 11 actually started with Fulham 0, Manchester United 1, and that was a very late winner from Bruno Fernandes, usually a very popular pick in FPL. However, after failing to deliver consistently in the early part of the season, Fernandes has been sold by so many managers, so actually not too many profiting from his late winner. Brentford 3, West Ham 2. And Brentford got the win thanks to goals from Collins, Mope and a Mavropanos own goal, assists from Jensen, Mbeumo and Onyeka. West Ham got their goals from Bowen and Kudus with assists from Antonio and Kudus. Burnley 0, Crystal Palace 2, goals from Mitchell and Schlupp with assists from Ayew and Eze. Great to see Eze back playing again in a Palace shirt. A great FPL option last season, hasn't been fit for much of this season, but Palace have some good fixtures on the horizon, so one to definitely keep tabs on in the coming game weeks. Everton 1, Brighton 1. Mikalenko with Everton's goal, and it was an own goal from Ashley Young that gave Brighton the equaliser. Mitoma getting the assist, one of the few popular picks who delivered a return in game week 11. Manchester City 6, Bournemouth 1. And this was one of those games that had bags of point scorers and very few of them were owned by FPL managers. Two goals for Bernardo, one for Akanji, one for Ake, one for Phil Foden and one for Doku. But Doku also got an incredible 4 assists, with Bob and Rodri getting the other assists. But one of the more frustrating takeaways from this City performance was Erling Haaland blanking in a 6-goal victory. He actually went off with a potential injury at halftime as well. So a single point return from Haaland despite a 6-1 victory for Manchester City. Bournemouth's consolation goal came from Sinisterra with a Aaron's assist. Sheffield United 2, Wolves 1. And it was goals from Archer and Norwood that gave Sheffield United their first victory of the Premier League season. Assists for McAtee and Baldock. Bellegarde getting the goal for Wolves with a Hwang Hee-chan assist. He's continuing his good form, but Wolves perhaps lacking that cutting edge since they've lost Pedro Neto to injury. Newcastle 1, Arsenal 0. Gordon continuing his fine form for Newcastle, getting the winner, but not without controversy. I think it was 3 VAR checks on that particular goal. One to see if the ball went out. I think there was one to see if it was offside. And then there was another one just to check if Joe Linton's assist was illegal as a result of a push. Did look that way, but the decision went the way of Newcastle and the goal stood. Nottingham Forest 2, Aston Villa 0. And this was a surprise result, really, given Aston Villa's form. But goals from Mangala and Aina with 2 Toffolo assists gave Forest victory. Blanks, I'm afraid, for all of those popular Aston Villa picks. Ollie Watkins, Diaby, Douglas Luiz, Matty Cash. Luton 1, Liverpool 1. And it was a Chong goal for Luton with a Kabore assist. Kabore's actually been quite a useful fifth-choice budget defender with a couple of returns this season. Liverpool's goal came from Luis Diaz very late in the game. Harvey Elliott getting the assist. But it was a particularly frustrating game for Salah owners after he blanked. And even more frustrating for any of you out there who decided he was the best captaincy choice for game week 11. And finally, rounding off the game week on Monday night, we had Spurs 1, Chelsea 4. We definitely don't have time to go through everything happened in this completely bonkers game that pretty much summed up game week 11 as a whole in FPL. But I'll briefly run through the goals. Kulusevski opened the goal scoring with a Sarr assist. Cole Palmer converted from the penalty spot after Romero received a red card. There was another red card for Destiny Udogi in the second half. And then a Nicholas Jackson hat-trick late on in the game sealed the victory for Chelsea. Assists for Chelsea went to Enzo, Gallagher, Sterling and Cole Palmer. Many would have gone into this game with a few Spurs assets, so it would have been very frustrating to see a high-performing Spurs defence ship four goals, Romero and Udogi both getting sent off, and Son and Maddison both blanking. Maddison had to go off early, actually, with a slight injury scare, so that's another one that we'll have to keep an eye on as well. Right, we'll quickly move on to my star of the week. A couple of contenders. Cole Palmer, the budget fifth choice midfielder for many FPL managers. He got himself a goal and an assist in a 12-point return. Nicholas Jackson's hat-trick delivered a 16-point return after underperforming for much of the season so far. But there is one standout candidate that has to get star of the week this week. Jeremy Doku with one goal, four assists and a 22-point return. Absolutely fantastic numbers from the Belgian winger who gets star of the week. As for flop of the week, well, I pretty much had my choice of almost all of the most popular FPL picks across game week 11. However, there is one standout candidate and it is going to Christian Romero at Spurs. For the first 20 minutes, Tottenham looked really good. And then something must have just switched in Romero's head where he decided, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get sent off. And that cost many FPL managers dearly. Not just the ones that owned him, but the ones that owned many other Spurs assets as the knock-on effects rippled through many FPL teams. Romero himself is the most owned Spurs defender, so this would have had a direct impact, of course, on many FPL managers' teams. His straight red card and the subsequent four goals that Spurs conceded meant Romero ended up with a minus 4-point return. He's also now suspended for the next three games, so Tottenham defender Romero gets flop of the week. Okay, let's put that bizarre game week 11 behind us and turn our focus to game week 12. The deadline is Saturday the 11th of November at 11 a.m. UK time. The first fixture of the game week is at Molineux as Wolves host a very depleted Tottenham side due to various injuries and suspensions. And then we've got Arsenal versus Burnley, Crystal Palace versus Everton, Manchester United at home to Luton, Bournemouth at home to Newcastle. And then on the Sunday, we have Villa versus Fulham, Brighton versus Sheffield United, Liverpool at home to Brentford, West Ham host Nottingham Forest, and Chelsea take on Manchester City. Now, before last week, I would have said there are quite a few standout fixtures to target. However, I think Game Week 11 has proved to us all that nothing should be taken for granted. That being said, there are a couple of standout fixtures that are definitely worth considering still. Arsenal at home to Burnley feels like a great opportunity for Arsenal to find their form once again. The only question mark really will be around Saka's fitness as he took a slight knock in the Champions League game in midweek and came off early as a precaution, we believe. Manchester United at home to Luton would typically be a fixture that every FPL manager would be licking their lips at. However, Manchester United's indifferent form this season means we really can't take this one for granted. Last season, I think everyone would be captaining Rashford, but that is definitely not going to be the case this time round. Manchester United also throwing away that lead in the Champions League in midweek just reduces everybody's faith that Manchester United can get these results over the line. That being said, Luton defensively have been pretty shaky, especially away from home. So if there was ever a time for Manchester United attacking assets to deliver, then it would be in this game week. Also, a great opportunity for those who went with the budget defensive option of Maguire recently. Could be an opportunity to play him and get a clean sheet there. Aston Villa at home to Fulham, another game where you would expect Villa assets to get a return. That, of course, wasn't the case last week. But at home, the hope is that Ollie Watkins and co. can return to their point-scoring ways. The same can also be said for that Brighton attack at home to Sheffield United. Sheffield United actually getting a good result last time out, their first win of the season. However, defensively, still very suspect. And Brighton, of course, have plenty of attacking assets to cause that Sheffield United defence a whole world of problems and deliver for FPL managers. And a Liverpool side back at Anfield hosting Brentford, another game that feels like a great opportunity for FPL returns, especially with those Liverpool attackers. Now, whilst Liverpool haven't been the most consistent in terms of their form, they are still scoring goals. And that does mean a good opportunity for FPL returns, especially against that Brentford defence that has been particularly leaky of late. So a good opportunity for those Salah owners and perhaps even a captaincy option there as well. And game week 12 is bookended by two really interesting fixtures for FPL. The start of the game week sees Wolves host a very understrength makeshift Tottenham side. And the game week is rounded off with Chelsea hosting Manchester City. Chelsea, I'm sure, will be riding high after that victory over Tottenham. And City are obviously in fine goal scoring form, but the only issue for FPL managers is which assets are going to get the minutes and which ones are going to get the returns. Doku obviously will be a very popular pick now, but we don't know that he's absolutely nailed for that starting spot every single week in the Premier League, with competition on the left there from Jack Grealish as well. And of course, Haaland coming off after 45 minutes, most people's captain in game week 11, blanking, and that frustrated a lot of us. However, the injury scare that we thought we might have to contend with wasn't to be, as he then played in the Champions League, getting on the score sheet as well. So he looks like he's fit and firing, ready to return once again for FPL owners. So plenty to consider then when it comes to transfers, both in and out, especially with all of these injuries and suspensions forcing a lot of us to be making transfers that we probably didn't originally plan for. However, needs must, and we'll start defensively. If you're an owner of the likes of Romero or Udogie, who are suspended, or perhaps you're a Burn owner who has been ruled out for the next few weeks with a back injury, then there are plenty of replacements worth considering. Saliba at Arsenal feels like one of the most popular, and a lot of people who already have Gabriel might be considering doubling up on that Arsenal defence with some good fixtures on the horizon. There is also other cheaper options. You've got Gehi at Crystal Palace, and they have quite good short-term fixtures. Lascelles at Newcastle is the fantastic budget option. If you're selling Dan Burn and you want to bring in a Newcastle defender, then perhaps Lascelles is the best option. With their defensive options dwindling, Lascelles looks set to get a lot of game time in the next few weeks. And then there's also West Ham Soufal, another one who has good fixtures. The other big question mark for FPL managers defensively is all of those who brought in Tsimikas after he has seemingly lost his place to Joe Gomez. Gomez playing in that left-back role over the last couple of games means there are a lot of question marks as to whether or not Tsimikas is a hold or a sell. However, Liverpool's form over those games is pretty questionable, so there is every likelihood that changes are made by Klopp. Tsimikas could well be brought back in. I would probably hold on to him for now, as he is the only natural left-back replacement for Andy Robertson over the next few weeks. So perhaps we just want to give it a little bit more time, see if he gets his place back. He is a cheap enough option for you to have on your bench as well, so perhaps not an emergency sell right away, but definitely one that we need to be keeping an eye on, I think. And the biggest talking point for FPL midfielders at the moment is James Maddison. Picking up that knock against Chelsea and coming off early raised big question marks over his fitness. And we've now had some clarity as of Friday morning, where he has been withdrawn from that international squad, which would suggest he is not fit enough to feature away at Wolves this weekend. So we need to be considering replacements for James Maddison. Now, you're fine if you opted to go for Son over Maddison, or potentially you could look to switch up from Maddison to Son now. However, with loads of question marks over how Spurs are going to handle this tricky period where they are down so many players, Son might not be the best replacement. There are plenty of others to choose from. If, for example, you perhaps went without Saka when you played your wild card, then now might be the time to bring the Arsenal midfielder back. Although there is, of course, some slight doubts over his fitness as well. Arteta bringing him off late in that Champions League game in midweek with a slight knock as well. My top recommended replacements for Maddison, other than Saka, this game week would probably be Mitoma, by far the most popular pick of the Brighton attackers. Great fixtures coming up with Sheffield United and Forest the next two. He's projected to pick up around 27 to 28 points over the next six game weeks, so definitely one to consider there. And at 6.5 million, you'll have plenty of money left over. The other midfielder that I think should be very high up on everyone's potential transfer in list is Jarrod Bowen at West Ham. Proof that even when the team are underperforming, three losses on the bounce, Bowen returning in two out of those last three. Very much West Ham's key point of attack, the main point scorer in FPL terms. And West Ham's fixtures look absolutely fantastic across the next six. They've got Nottingham Forest, Burnley and Palace, and then Spurs, Fulham and Wolves. So a really good run. And I think we'd all be expecting Jarrod Bowen to get on the score sheet in plenty of those games. Manchester City midfielders Doku and Phil Foden both delivering returns in the last game week. They'll be popular options, I would imagine, to cover for Maddison as well. Doku looks like he will be the most transferred in player this game week, unsurprisingly, given that 22-point haul in game week 11. However, I am slightly apprehensive about recommending Doku just purely because we've seen time and time again this season, players have huge hauls in one game week and then everyone brings them in and then they blank the next game week. We've seen it with Sterling, we've seen it with Mbeumo, we've seen it with Son. So it does feel like it could end up being one of those classic troll moves from the FPL gods. So I'm slightly uncertain over Doku, although he does present good value for money, I think, at 6.6 million. No doubt that price will rise in the next day or two if he becomes the most transferred in player this game week. Foden, I think, is the marginally more guaranteed starter under Pep, but with the fixture congestion starting to mount as we approach this time of year, we just don't know how much rotation Pep is going to want to utilise. So difficult to recommend either of these two. But at the moment, they're two players that are in form, playing for a great side. And City are one of those teams that are fairly fixture proof, players that can return against any team. And my final recommended replacement for James Maddison is Anthony Gordon at Newcastle. He's provided an FPL return in five out of his last six Premier League starts. And he's actually got a pretty good run of fixtures. Bournemouth is next up for Newcastle. And then there are a couple of tricky games, although they are both at home against Chelsea and Manchester United. And then they have Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Luton and Forest. So a good run of fixtures for Newcastle. Defensively, they are looking a little thin on options, but Newcastle are getting results at the moment, and a lot of those are coming via goal involvements from Anthony Gordon. So at 5.7 million, you're going to have loads of money left over if you're switching him in for Maddison, and that will provide greater flexibility as well elsewhere in your sides. Let's take a look now at some differentials that can help set your sides apart from the rest of your mini leagues. And the first player I'm recommending, Crystal Palace midfielder Eze, just 3.2% owned. He's been out injured for the last 4 or 5 weeks. He made his comeback in the 2-0 victory over Burnley with that late substitute appearance and got himself an assist, back to getting FPL returns immediately. So that's good to see. He's 6.1 million and another great option, perhaps as a James Maddison replacement, if you want to go for someone who's not particularly highly owned. The fixtures for Crystal Palace do look good as well. Home to Everton this game week, and then they're away at Luton after that. So I would imagine he'll go straight back into that starting lineup, and a great opportunity for him to find some form straight away there. The next player I'm recommending as a differential is West Ham midfielder Kudus, scoring an absolute screamer against Brentford. He also got an assist, so that was an 11-point return last time out. He's 6.5 million and less than 1% owned. The two main reasons I'm picking this player as a decent differential option is the fact that he's recently forced his way into Moyes' starting 11, back-to-back 90 minutes from him, and the fixtures for West Ham are really good. Forest and Burnley, their next two. So a good opportunity for you to set yourselves apart from the rest with a very different midfield pick. Kudus is my second differential option. And my final differential pick this week is Edouard at Crystal Palace. Now, he hasn't exactly been in fantastic form, but he is a guaranteed starter under Roy Hodgson, and the fixtures do look quite appealing. Everton and Luton, the next two for Palace. And with Eze coming back as well, there could be some increased opportunities for attacking returns for Edouard. He's 3.6% owned and just 5.5 million. So this one is a little bit of a punt. He hasn't returned for a little while. Hopefully the fixtures will give him the opportunity to change that. And whilst a lot of people will be flocking towards people like Nicholas Jackson after his huge haul against Spurs, I think Edouard is actually a better differential than Nicholas Jackson, who is also under 5% owned. The biggest risk I would say with bringing in the Chelsea man is the fact that Chelsea have some very difficult fixtures coming up. And I also think we need to pay attention to a certain Christopher Nkunku, who has been out since the beginning of the season. The big money signing and first choice centre forward is looking to return very, very soon, potentially in time for game week 13. So someone like Nicholas Jackson could see his minutes under threat very, very soon. Edouard instead is my preferred differential pick when it comes to strikers. Let's take a look now at captaincy options for game week 12. And as usual, it's the same two leading the fight for the armband, Haaland and Salah. Now, last week, I said that I will not be making the same mistake again by going against Haaland for captain. That did not pay off. He immediately let me down with a blank and only a 45-minute appearance. However, playing midweek and getting on the score sheet proves he is fit and firing. I do expect him to deliver against Chelsea, but it is a more difficult fixture on paper compared to Salah's home fixture at Anfield against Brentford. And the thing that swings it slightly more perhaps in Salah's favour is the fact that he is a midfielder. So he does, of course, get that extra point for a goal and the extra point if there's a clean sheet. So perhaps there's an argument to say that this week is a good week to go against Haaland, but both are fantastic options. At the moment, dare I say it, I'm leaning towards Salah. Ollie Watkins at home against Fulham probably would have been a very popular option as an alternative to Haaland or Salah. However, I don't think there'll be too many particularly confident with that move, given the fact that he blanked last week. The same could be said for Saka at home against Burnley. The question marks over his fitness will mean not much confidence in going against the two most popular captaincy picks. So I would imagine it'll be a straight shootout between Haaland and Salah. Right then, let's finish off the episode with my likely team ahead of game week 12. I've got 2 free transfers and 0.1 in the bank. And I do have a couple of things that need addressing. Dan Burn's long-term injury means I'm looking for a replacement for the Newcastle defender. At the moment, my most likely move will be to sell him this game week and bring in Lascelles, as he will probably feature pretty regularly over the next few weeks. And he's nice and cheap, which will free up some funds as I don't have too many at the moment. There is the possibility that is the only move I make this game week and I roll the other transfer, meaning that I'll have 2 free transfers next game week as well. And of course, there is also a potential doubt over Saka's fitness, so we'll keep a close eye on any news that comes out ahead of the deadline there as well. But if we don't hear anything that categorically rules Saka out, I'll be keeping him in and rolling my second free transfer. So with that, my team going into game week 12 looks like this. Areola in goal at home against Forest. A back three will be Pau Torres against Fulham, Gabriel at home to Burnley, and Lascelles away at Bournemouth, meaning I drop Tsimikas to the bench with his uncertainty over minutes despite being at home against Brentford. I actually think that even if Tsimikas was guaranteed the 90 minutes, there's probably slightly more chance that Brentford score than Bournemouth. So I'm opting for Lascelles with Tsimikas dropping to the bench. Looking at my midfield, it's currently Saka at home to Burnley, Mitoma at home to Sheffield United, Son away at Wolves, Salah at home to Brentford, and Cole Palmer at home to Manchester City. I'm giving him the nod ahead of Archer, who is away at Brighton. I just think the fact that he's a midfielder, so he gets that extra point for any goal or clean sheet, and he's on penalties. So Archer, despite his goal last time out, stays on my bench, and Cole Palmer gets the nod ahead of him. My front two remains the same. It's Ollie Watkins at home to Fulham, hoping he returns to goal-scoring ways this week, and Erling Haaland away at Chelsea. My bench is Turner, Archer, Tsimikas and Taylor, and the armband currently on Mo Salah. That's it for this episode. Good luck to everyone ahead of game week 12. A reminder once again that the deadline is Saturday, the 11th of November at 11 a.m. UK time. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter at AndyJAudio or at OneStopFPL. Good luck to everyone chasing those green arrows ahead of game week 12, and I'll talk to you again next week.